Hey guys, Sklar Brothers here with Daniel Van Kirk.
I am here.
And our guest on the show is our favorite murderer because she murders this episode. Karen Kilgariff, thanks for joining.
It was my pleasure. What a joy.
We talk about swords.
Oh, yeah.
Sword stores.
A guy who might have deserved to get attacked. Yeah. I'm not saying he did, but he might have.
He's an athlete.
Yeah.
He's an athlete.
That's all you need to know.
Claudia and her life changes.
Tiny Sasquatches.
Tiny Sasquatches.
And the Sheboygan Clogger.
We need the town's help on that one.
This is it. It is Sword Stores, Tiny Sasquatches, and the Sheboygan Clogger with Karen Kilgariff. You have to listen to this week's episode of Dumb People Town.
Hello, everybody. I'm Keith and the Girls, Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Welcome to My Opening Line, embarrassing moments of people's first times on stage. Thank you so much for your 5-star reviews. It's a big deal.
It's such a big deal. Yeah. I just added to the conversation.
Keith is not lying. As co-host, he is not lying to you.
I co-sign.
Today's guest, you're going to love her, host of NPR's and WNYC's Ask Me Another. She appeared on Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson, Comedy Central, VH1, Today Show, Fox. I get it. What am I going to do, name everything? A great storyteller, and everybody hates storytelling, right? But you see this guest perform, you know, they don't trick me with this storytelling. Like, the day I woke up, I was very surprised to find a bowl of goldfish in my asshole. The year 1992 was an innocent year. I'm like, well, just get to the goldfish.
And then they end the story with, and then I realized, goldfish.
But this one,
delicious.
I enjoy this person. Stand up, their storytelling. There's nothing I don't like. Honest to God, it angers me she's married. And then when she had a kid, that really solidified it. But it is what it is, and we have to get on with our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, Ophira Eisenberg.
Wow. Wow. That's the most heart I've heard in a long time.
Well, your husband better step up.
Agreed. Hey. Hey, guys.
Hi, nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too. Yeah.
I don't have a long intro like Keith, but I got to say.
I'm so happy to be here.
Always good to see you.
Ophira, do you remember? Because that'd be a shocker if you don't, but I'm going to ask anyway.
That would suck for this show.
Do you remember the very first time you went on stage?
Yeah, because it wasn't something that just casually happened one day.
Right.
Were you thinking about it for a long time?
I was thinking about it for a long time. I'm someone that... I think this is somewhat unusual. I don't even know anymore. I went to university or college. I finished university and college. I spent
a
year.
She says university because she's Canadian.
Yeah, I know. If here when you say university, people are like, what trade did you get? So it feels like it's weird.
Yeah.
Why? Anyways, don't know. But I waited. I just waited. It was a couple years after college that I decided I was doing nothing. Let's admit. Did I decide to ditch an amazing career?
What did you think you'd be doing? What did you take in university?
Cultural anthropology.
That is comedy.
Yeah, that is comedy. Yeah. I guess so.
What are you digging for? The truth in funny form?
Trust me, I had a joke about it. I mean, I took cultural anthropology. The very last year, something was in my mind because in the very last year of my degree, all of a sudden, I decided to get a minor in theater.
Okay. In your last year?
In my last year, I added it on with this thing where I had to write a thesis. McGill is sort of weird and you can do these weird things. So I took like a acting class, but it was the acting class at McGill was run by a woman who was mostly into acting for therapy. So it was the weirdest class ever.
All the exercises are screaming.
You created fictional families with your classmates and did scenes.
Oh, wow.
What? That seems like it could get inappropriate really fast.
The whole class was a mess. Trust me. Like people warred with each other. There was lots of fights. It was intense.
Really? Yep. What did you play? The 5-year-old daughter? Like, what do you play?
Yeah, no, I think I was a sister or a weird aunt. I mean, like, we were all in sections. Like, we all went into 5 groups of people, families.
Ew.
And then people weirdly mirrored their own family. I mean,
of course.
There was a lot of odd things that went down in that class.
Now, when you realize, okay, maybe anthropology isn't for me, I want to do theater.
Yeah, I was so afraid, though. Oh, my God.
But before we get to that, do we go to college too young of an age?
To make a good decision?
To make a good decision. It's almost like marrying young.
Yeah. Well, I really do think that might be a generational question. Because I think when I went to college, I was part of a sort of, I was part of the generation that they kind of make fun of on, I mean, I feel like they really made fun of it on 30 Rock, for example. It was sort of like, yeah, our parents did all the hard work to give us this great life so we can take improv classes. Right. I mean, everyone I knew was going to university more or less to, you know, expand their mind.
And also, I think, I don't mean to say the words back then, but back then,
yeah,
college was 10 grand.
Yeah.
Like you went in the hole, maybe 10 grand, maybe 20 if you're really going to.
I went in the hole 20.
Yeah. So.
Well, it was a university.
Yeah. And I didn't have anyone else paying.
Okay.
So it was just me.
Yeah. And that seems more reasonable for an education.
Oh, totally different. So, but you know, it's interesting you say that because then you could go, I don't know, like there's these Swiss models and these Danish models where they are making these decisions in high school.
To what? Model?
What they had to model or be part of a weird murder mystery series. No, to what trade or what they want to study. So they're making decisions even earlier.
That's intense.
Yeah.
That's intense. But I also think, I mean, and we can go into this so deep, but we're going to switch course in a second.
Right.
But I feel like it is now not the case that you decide what you do in college and then you know,
and then you do it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You go for that in your 20s, and then by the time you're 30, like nothing else can change. Now you can change career when you're 30, then again when you're 40, then again when you're 50.
I feel
like everything's different.
So, and I just thought, I mean, I didn't really know what I was going to do, but I assumed I was going to get a master's. I assumed that's what I was doing.
But you didn't know in what?
I assumed I would continue somehow in anthropology.
Okay, but 2 years you did nothing.
Or critical thinking. Seriously, critical thinking. So 2 years.
Sorry. What? How many versions of thinking are you going to study? This is my memorized thinking.
This is intense thinking.
Very intense. Critical thinking. Like, that's basically just like live in New York City. You just criticize everything. You know what I think? You know what I think?
This is too expensive. This is too far away.
Exactly. It suddenly makes sense that you work with NPR.
I don't like this. I don't like that. Not good enough. So then I moved. It took me a long time, actually, to finally wrap up my degree. And then I moved to Vancouver and was just, I mean, I think back at it now, amazing. I did crash on my sister's couch for a while, and then she kicked me out and made me, get a place. But I had odd jobs. Worked for Taxation Canada, putting together like people's tax returns.
Did you have to call people up?
No, you just like went through the envelopes and stapled them in the right order.
Okay.
And it was like you got paid by speed.
Good
how many you could do.
Good for you.
You had a degree.
I had a degree.
Your sister was like, yeah, I saw your degree. No thanks.
I worked like at a cafe. I was doing like office and stuff. And then I worked at Kinko's. That was my main job is that I worked at Kinko's. I got a job at Kinko's.
And things were so funny there. You decided to do stand-up?
Actually, not only that. I worked in the computer department at Kinko's, which was great because I didn't have a computer. Because I kind of understood
that this was happening.
Computers and that there was a thing happening. And it was great because all these.
There was a movement?
There was the computer geeks taught me how to use computers.
Okay.
And so that was really actually very helpful.
Because the printers kept breaking.
Because everything broke. And nobody knew how to do anything. Like people would come in and be like, I have to put that I know how to use whatever Word Perfect on, it was right. Probably Microsoft Word by then, mm-hmm. on my resume, and I don't really know how to use it. Like, it was kind of wild. Not that long ago. Like, relatively not that long ago.
I picture O'Farrah helping me out in Staples and, you know, opening up the email browser. Oh, I mean, there.
There. Yeah. Whoa.
This is it.
Hey, look at what we've done together, me helping you. But people were kind of funny. There was like, I mean, Vancouver as a whole is a very odd place. And even, you know, now even more so, but it was also a very high place. Like it was a big stoner culture. Mm. And if you don't think people are high at Kinko's, working at Kinko's, you were wrong.
Were you high?
Everyone, it's a boring job.
Is that a yes? Was that a long yes?
One of the guys used to call safety meetings all the time, which meant we could go to the back and smoke a joint. He's like, we need a safety meeting. We're like, we need to be safe, you know.
Would, as a joke, he say it over the intercom?
Yeah.
Safety meeting.
Exactly. It's a 24-hour establishment, too. I mean, you got to think about the people that are working there, you know, from...
Yeah. How are they not smoking? You got to think of them. Smoking?
Would people that didn't work there anymore come in for a safety meeting?
No, it was never... Yeah, you never returned for your safety meeting.
My friend Bob's going to join us for the safety meeting.
And then, you know, so I met some people. The Vancouver Comedy Festival happens in the summertime. I decided that they were like, oh, the Vancouver Comedy Festival is super fun. And I decided I would volunteer as an usher.
And then sneak on stage.
but that's a great idea. Just all of a sudden be like, pata!
I like this. For every episode, we'll give someone an idea.
Right. That's a great idea.
This is how you can get on
that's
stage.
That's right. Here's one method.
Once you're on stage legally, they can't stop you. For
there,
5 seconds.
There
solid
is a minutes. Law about right. that. There's a theater law that once you are on the stage, according to the laws of Macbeth, you have to stay on stage.
You know
stage.
Who started that way?
Dame Judi Dench.
Judi Dench in acting and Seinfeld in comedy. Mm. They jump on stage and legally you have 5 minutes.
He is a feisty one.
It's one of these crazy laws, but it's everywhere in America.
Everywhere in America. Not in Canada. That was my problem. Right. That's why I couldn't do it.
Okay.
But it turned out all the other ushers were kind of amateur comedians.
They were just trying to make good with the festival.
Yeah. And to be involved and you could see the shows for free.
Yeah.
Right?
That makes sense. It's like you're interning for the festival.
Right. So we were like, we were joking around with them. I was joking around with them. They were joking around with me. And this guy was like, you should come to the comedy class.
Aha.
Aha. And I was like, comedy class? That sounds like total bullshit. That sounds like someone is taking... your poor, like right. taking advantage of you and taking your money and making you buy into a dream. And
right, because you already think I'm funny. Why am I taking classes?
Right, and like the whole thing that, and I used to believe this all the time.
Don't be scamming me. Scam. As a student of critical thinking, I will
I'm
not be
seeing through
taken.
This. I am seeing through this. I see the holes in your comedy class. And also, I just, right, that whole thing, like, you can't teach comedy.
Right.
So it was a weekend workshop. It was run by a guy out of Texas. Very nice guy.
I like that she's like, no, I'm not doing this anyway. I'll see you on the weekend.
Yeah. Right. So, but I was so like curious and I wondered if this was the way in because I didn't know what the other way in was. And so there were the club that was in Vancouver at the time closed down, sadly, was the Punchline. Could it have a more classic name?
I mean, nothing's better than Ha! Comedy Club, but exactly. Punchline, pretty good.
Punchline. And I went down on a Saturday afternoon, or I think it was morning, 11 o'clock. And my idea was that I was going to go to say that I was interested, but not sure, and go to the comedy class and check it out.
Audit.
And then, right, and then leave before they got the money.
Okay.
you were going to dine and ditch a comedy class.
That's right.
Okay.
That was my whole idea.
Yeah. But then, oh, I wonder if they were on to you.
Yeah. I think it's, I have my purse in my car. I'll be right back. Yeah, I did that once to a dentist. They took an x-ray and everything. Then they told me how much things are going to be. And I went, oh, that's something. All right. I don't have any cash on me. Let me go get my...
He doesn't even know how to finish that sentence.
Right.
That's how bad it was.
That's how I was talking. And I'm like, let me go to an ATM. And they're like, well, we take credit cards. I'm like, I feel safer with an ATM. And they go, you know, if you just ditch, we're going to have to still charge you for what happened, you know, what we already looked at.
They already were like telling you how it works.
Yes. Yeah. And I go, I'm not going to just leave. Goodbye.
And then I never came back. Right. Americans, by the way, at McGill would go to the emergency hospital claiming things. And of course, in Canada, they will just treat you right away.
Right.
And then when you circle back and they would, you know, be like, all right, we need all your information. They would be like, oh my God, and run away.
All right. I mean, yeah. Here they take your name and your information first, like in a,
yeah, I'm pretty sure they do that. It's now forever. I mean, I feel like,
yeah, but they don't, when you're going to the emergency, they don't ask you for your ID. So I could be Cindy Margolis, you know, and there I am being charged as Cindy.
It's interesting that you pulled a complicated name like that just out so quickly.
Well, she's on everybody's mind. So I can go into a, into a hospital. I just pretend. I say Fran Drescher, right? Let me just think of a name, and they take me.
My references are ridiculous,
right?
Because exactly. In my head, my name is Hemda. So to me, when I'm trying to make a fake name, I'm always like spazzing out. I'm just like, oh, American Cindy Margolis.
Right.
I'll make up a celebrity name. You know, the host of the dating game. I'll say.
I usually go with Stephen Wright.
Last time I was at the hospital, I said I'm all my three sons.
I do a lot, you know, with the coffee orders because I will not use my name. Mm-hmm. And I always just look at them and go, Jane, like in the most, like, right. like what? Of Tarzan and Jane? Because you're saying it like you've right. just learned.
Do you think there's a Starbucks employee and he's like, seriously, tell me, give me a chance. I don't like what they do either.
They did that to me one time. Yeah. Like, because I mistakenly went, Hennessy. And so they're like, oh, and they thought they were doing like the nice thing. Like, don't worry, weird name girl. I'll be okay with you. Mm-hmm. Right. And then I'm like, they go, just tell me your actual name. And I said, Hemda. Oh, all means you can't say it. Because if I said Keith, you'd go, oh, hi, Keith.
You're right.
Well, all means, oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, we're done here.
Yeah.
Then she goes, I have a coffee for O. Now we go by what I say. And here's your coffee, O.
Well, Ophira and I know that when it's, that's our cup of coffee. Yeah. That's why we're never in a Starbucks together, because it just
that's confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think even Kilgrave from Jessica Jones can get his name spelled right.
Yeah.
Write it out. K-I-L-G-R-A-V-E. Oh, I got it. Here you go, Colonel Corn.
I do. I think I have a photo somewhere on my phone, because that's what phones are for, to take photos of your coffee. That where I said Jane and I picked up my coffee, Jill. I was like, you can't even right. get this. What are the chances?
Is there a chance that it's a conspiracy and they do it deliberately, that now it's a joke and we're bringing up Starbucks' name? Could it be deliberate?
Possibly, but only. I also feel like...
As a critical thinker,
right. I actually think a lot of people that are working at a Starbucks do not care about this joke. We care about this joke. Right. They want the healthcare and the paycheck and for the shift to be over.
Anytime
it's no Kinko's.
Right. If they complain about what they're getting paid, I go, get a name right if it's a syllable. And then we'll talk about fair wages.
Why don't you study some names tonight?
Right. Flashcards. John. Peter. Say it back. Now you write it. Now, just that, you know, if they drew the person's face, they'd be closer.
Oh, that would be good. A rendering.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, and they would just draw a nose and some hair, and I'd pick up my coffee just fine.
Exactly. Well, I guess I do need to wax my mustache.
I think this is you, Cindy Margolis. So you're doing stand-up.
Yeah, no, I haven't done it yet.
You're in the course.
I walk in for the course thinking I'm going to audit right and take off. Obviously, I walk in and they're like, great, $300. And I was like, I'll be right back. And so I left. And I was like, oh, that didn't work.
Oh, they're good. They're good.
Oh, my God.
One step ahead of me, these comedians.
How long, do you know how many days the course would have been? Or was it one?
It was Saturday and Sunday, performance Sunday night.
$300.
Wow, you're already performing after your second day at school.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I didn't go home. I went to an ATM and I took out $300. And I think I had $340.
Wow.
But I took it out. And then
you sound like you're going to cry.
It was actually just thinking about, like, I used to do that all the time. Take out money and have so little left and just be like, how is this going to work out?
Right.
But somehow it did or didn't. I don't even know. Anyways,
well, it's what you
I'm
put out. It's what you put out into the universe.
We can all agree that's bullshit.
And you have to tell the universe, I'm going to start maxing things. So you better make it work out. Yeah,
exactly. I'm going to need some help. That is true. I went into total debt for a decade. Anyways, came back, gave them the $300, and they were like, great. And then I went into the showroom. And people were getting up one at a time and doing a few minutes of stand-up, but they were...
So you had to be ready with your...
Yeah, and I didn't have anything.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I didn't have anything. Like, I thought, oh, they're going to tell me how to do this.
Right.
But they didn't tell anyone how to... I mean, it seemed like other people there, like, this was a weekend intensive or whatever, and they had taken a different class before or something.
I see. So you went straight to the advanced class.
So I went straight to the advanced class. Or whatever. I mean, they took my money. They were like, fine, whatever.
Yeah. Right. You qualified. Wow. Look at you.
Great.
Yeah.
And so I got on stage and I told, my family likes joking around. And so I kind of told some of the things we would tell each other around the dinner table.
Sorry, one second. Do you think maybe I'll just talk about this stupid class I took?
I was not meta.
Okay.
I was not meta.
That
nowhere,
was the next day.
That's like nowhere near the confidence to do something like that.
They're like, you didn't teach me a single thing good. Use that, twist it around, make it yours.
Did you consider this your first time doing stand-up? Because that, it is.
I guess so, but no, because...
Because this was a class, so it's not
like
the first
a
time
class,
on stage.
But there was something... I loved being on that stage. I think the words coming out of my mouth were like garbage. But whatever. And certainly not jokes, but things.
Did anybody laugh?
Well, the guy running the class.
How did everybody?
God damn, that's good. That is HBO good.
No, but he did say something which, no one would ever say to me again. And it meant a lot.
Okay.
Which he said, you see, look, this person has stage presence. It's just a natural thing. And you can't make that. You either Whoa. Have it or you don't.
And everybody I didn't say that to today, no refunds.
That's right. But you who walked in,
right,
$300, $40 left in your bank account, you've got stage presence. And why whatever, I was completely dazzled.
That's great. Why would he say that though? say it to you in private, like, hey, not for nothing.
Because he was making an example of me. So everyone for once could look at Ophira Eisenberg and go, look at her. She's got something special. Okay, Keith, maybe don't water down every one of my dreams.
And then he turned to you and went, right, okay, was that good?
Yeah, so the next class is $600.
Right, right. Where we talk about improving people with natural stage presence.
And then he was like, okay, so you're going to think about that material, bring it back tomorrow, and we'll all do the show. And he was like, and you'll do the show on Sunday night. And I had a shift at Kinko's Sunday night.
Mm-hmm. All that safety you got to put through. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I had a real shift, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was a 6 p.m. shift. I loved the evening shifts at Kinko's, obviously. More fun. And so I called in sick for my shift.
Okay. Oh, okay. I thought for the comedy show, I'm like,
No. Okay. I was like, oh, what am I going to do? I left it, to the last minute and then called in sick for my shift.
You know who else said, what are we going to do? Poor grandma trying to print out a picture of their puppy for their grandkid's birthday. But guess who wasn't there to work the machine?
Nope.
No.
Wow.
No.
Rebel.
And I did the show, and that was the first time. That was the very, very, very first time on stage.
Did you take your material from the day before and actually sharpen it?
Well, I don't even know if I knew how to sharpen it. I just decided, and I don't think it was even material.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think I remember a few of the stupid things.
Like?
I said, well, and I didn't have a joke for it, but later on, I actually had a joke of it. I was like, my mom's Dutch. So you know what that means? I was like, I'm half Jewish and half Dutch. So that means everyone in my family had to pay for their own dinner.
I like the build up.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was that was very hip at the time, right? Like you do a little quick thing on your background. And I was like, my name's Ophira, and a lot of people are like, what kind of name is that? And I'm like, it's Hebrew. And they're like, oh, are you from Hebland? I don't know. That was something that I said.
And then he went, like I said, her stage presence.
And then my mother, and this is like a thing, my mother always used to use a phrase, a Dutch phrase called, that's when you're doing something dumb. She would say, you're Klop van der Molen, which means hit by the windmill.
Okay.
So I had a joke, something about that.
Imagine that.
Et cetera.
It was something like, you know, I asked my mom to borrow some money and she said, you know what you are? You're Klop van der Molen. And I was like, what does that mean? Turns out it's a Dutch phrase.
And then Affair took a bow.
who are stupid. And it actually means hit by the windmill. And then I was like, how stupid do you have to be for that? You can see windmills coming, you know. And then I did some act out of like, there's Klaus in his clogs picking tulips. Oh, I didn't see the windmill. Clang.
Now, is this... now,
Kemda is so mad right now.
Are people from the street, do they see this show?
It was packed.
Okay.
Wait, did your friends and family come?
I had a couple friends there.
Okay.
Do you still have them as friends?
I do still have them as friends. Get this. I actually did okay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't die.
Okay.
And now, do you know, is that when you know? You're like, this feels great.
I'll have no idea. I mean, there was no recording of it. I'll have no idea exactly how I did. I do remember hearing a laugh.
Okay.
How many? I have no idea. One laugh, three laughs. Right. But I remember the reception of a laugh. But I also remember just that feeling, which I'm sure, you know, whatever. I've never jumped out of a plane or bungee jumped or whatever. I remember the rush. The rush.
Okay.
The extreme rush, partially of like, wow, I've had this thing rolling around in my brain for so many years that I haven't been able to access, and now I'm doing it, like that intensity of that thing. And then also just like, you know, you're on stage, like you're just doused in endorphins and adrenaline, and it is a chemical reaction.
You're absolutely right. I did go skydiving. And it is the same kind of rush, except your crotch doesn't hurt. I'm more of a fan of the stage rush.
Yeah. And so then, yeah, so that was it. Went out for beers with my friends.
What was happening before? Were you nervous?
Oh, my God. I was so nervous. And it was this thing where I was catatonic a little bit beforehand. But then afterwards, like right when I got off stage, I could not stop shaking. Like
your
it was like
body?
I just like kind of, you know, shut down everything so I could get out on stage. And then afterwards, at when it released, I was just, shivering.
For how long?
Oh, I mean, I feel like an hour or something. Whoa. Yeah, it was like, I was just shivering.
How was drinks with friends after?
Amazing.
Very sloppy.
Amazing.
Sure.
Yeah, we had some beers. And I just remember I was like saying to my friend, like, you know, this is so stupid, but it was all part of the same thing. I was like, oh, you know, if there's anything you've ever wanted to do, just try once. It's so good to do that. Just try once. Yeah.
That is so sweet. Did you start pursuing it right after?
No, I was scared and I didn't really understand it. And I didn't know how it worked. And I don't know. I was just sort of like, I wasn't like that was that, but I think I just sort of... I was just passive about it.
How did you find your way back?
Well, I kind of got to know a couple of those people. So I was hanging out with them at bars and what have you. I'm a real bar person. I always have been. I love bars. So, you know, they would go to the club. And so I would go to the club. Mm. And I'd watch other comics. And then I was watching comics. And then basically I learned over the course of time that they were like, here's how it works. If you want to perform on amateur night, you call in on Tuesday for the next, like you call in on Tuesday. That was used to be like the thing between 12 and 3. And you leave your name and your phone number. And we'll call you back if you get booked the following Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
So simple, right? So I couldn't get it right.
What?
I would like call at 4. I'd forget it was Tuesday. Like on Wednesday, I'd remember yesterday was Tuesday. Like it was
subconsciously, don't tell me what to do.
Total. No, yeah. Not rebelling. Total sabotage.
Okay.
Total sabotage.
Huh.
Yeah. Don't you tell me what to do. So I'm going to call in whenever I goddamn want. You're going to give me a goddamn spot.
So it ends up working out, but people ask you, hey, how do you get into the business? You say, you find Joe, have $300. He's not going to teach you anything. Day 3, you go on stage.
What do you have any advice for people who want to get on stage, want to do stand up?
Well, I do think it's like
just fuck up a lot, hang out in bars.
Yeah, I mean there is it's the same advice anyone's going to really give you, which is you actually have to do it. That you actually can't. That's great if you're writing all the time. That's awesome. Or if you but you actually just have to physically get on the stage a lot. I mean, a lot.
You heard that crap she was saying her first day. You got to go a lot.
Terrible. Yeah, it was terrible. I had no. I mean, there was no one particularly encouraging too, being like, "Wow, you should keep going."
Friends were like, "Wow, you could down that beer. Good job."
Yeah, they were like, "That was that."
How long did it take you before you thought, "Okay, I'm doing this. This is a real thing. I know how to do this."
I think 2 years later, I feel like I had like 5 minutes in my mind that were something. And the club owner at Punchline was doing this thing where he did take a few of us under his wing, and I got a lot of spots there. I kind of lived at that club. Mm. Like I was there all the time. And when I wasn't, I saw every single person that came through. I was there every weekend, both nights. And I just I only hung out with comedians, basically. I ruined my life. Basically, I ruined my life.
And that's where it always comes down to, everybody.
Yeah.
It really is. We've been asking everybody advice for people who want to start doing stand-up. And at the end of every episode, people are like, well, if you don't want to have a life, a husband, a wife, a kid, you know, and you have a husband and a kid, but I love how you're always like, but if you never want to see them or never want to see the club, you got to pick.
Yeah, it is a little, yeah, right. It's daunting, especially, well, in the beginning. So then I moved to Toronto after that. And that's when that's when it actually started, like, the real pursuit of having to admit we're either doing this and it's going to work out, or we're going to find out that it's a hobby.
And now O'Fair would like to announce O'Fair's School of Comedy.
It's Hobbyist School of Comedy.
$310.
Yeah, I've raised it $10.
And
I have a lot of experience, so it's $310.
And you go on stage day one.
Day one, you are on stage.
And I'm going to tell you all have great stage presence. Who cares?
Who cares? I still think that was like...
No, that's good.
He sure knows how to ruin everything.
But it is true. For a long, long time, I got away with not a lot of material. Even though I am someone who really likes to write, it's just like I had a hard time figuring out what was the right thing to write. Just with kind of charm and not a lot of good material. Not a lot of material.
So
like, I just loved being on stage, and I was so happy I could kind of get people on my side.
So here, if you're listening, like, how do I get into the business? Be born charming. Okay?
Charming works. Writing's better. At a certain point, the combination would be great.
Well, there you have it.
But some people start with writing and that you just like, you don't want to particularly watch them, or they don't have any delivery, or, you know, they can't sell it in any way.
Take the time, sit down, pen and paper, do some writing. Then finishing school, 6 months, 7 months. Then you're ready. Then act like you're an usher.
Finishing school. Then you go to comedy etiquette class. It's very interesting. Yeah. You learn what fire escapes you can smoke by.
Well, you are absolutely amazing to watch on stage. I think that guy was right. Mm-hmm. I mean, from like your book to your storytelling.
And those first jokes, they really set the plot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can still hear them now.
I feel like how horrified you were hearing that. It was amazing.
I can't get over the teacher going, "This one, great stage presence. Is there time for you to teach us that?" "Nope, born with it." "All right, next."
But maybe it was because he was like, "No material. Right, I got to say something."
He had to say something nice, yeah. Everybody else, they were like, "You write so well."
There were people that were really good writers.
Wow.
That is a pretty shirt and skirt. I want everybody to know you're either born with style or a parent teaches it
to you.
Look
how her hair moves on that stage. Is that just any haircut? No.
Those bangs are even but not obnoxious. You're not born with that. We're actually born bald.
You know, what is kind of interesting to think about, too, is at when I, it, because that was like a club in Vancouver that people went to, that amateur, oh, those amateur nights and those graduation classes, like in New York, obviously people are fighting to get audience in there by, it's solely 100% their friends or family. Mm-hmm. There's like mm-hmm. these things where you have to bring 10 people. So none of that existed in Vancouver because it didn't have to, because people just came to the amateur nights.
Hmm.
That's really weird.
Do they
Isn't
still,
that weird?
Do they still, or they learned their lesson?
Well, the club closed down, so I guess they learned their lesson.
Fair, always a pleasure.
Always. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you, everybody, very, very much. Thanks for telling your friends about this show. It's a big deal. We're excited, and we're so glad you're part of it.
And how could people find you online?
They can find me everywhere at klopvondermolen.com. Ophira E is Instagram and Twitter. Facebook is Ophira. Website, OphiraEisenberg.com.
And now the closing theme song. What you just heard was my opening line. Please subscribe and tell your friends. Go to myopeningline.com.
Hello, I'm Dave Ross.
Hey, and I'm Hampton Yunt.
And we host Suicide Buddies on Starburns Audio.
That's right. It's a podcast about suicide, but not to make light of it. We actually talk about suicidal thoughts, depression, kind of with a sense of levity that Dave and I have with each other. And he's my best friend. Come on.
Yeah, we're buddies. Suicide Buddies.
That's the title.
One of our favorite episodes that we've recorded so far is about this guy, Jan Pataki, who was a Polish aristocrat in the 19th century. Mm-hmm. And he, one of the reasons it's possible that he killed himself is that he thought he was a werewolf.
Oh.
Check out a clip. It also makes me think, like, we were talking about in the Norway black metal episode, how, like, just the culture of your surroundings can affect you. Like, yeah. He's in a castle in Poland. He's like, I mean, if you lived in a castle in Poland and no one knew anything about anything, you might be like, I'm a bat. I'm probably a bat.
That's like literally what happened to Batman. He literally is in his mansion. He's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm a bat.
I'm a bat. I'm a bat.
I'm a
bat that helps people.
I'm a bat that helps people.
I'm a rich...
I don't know what you want from me. And my girlfriend, she's a cat. She's a cat.
My girlfriend's a cat.
She steals things. She's a woman who steals things. She's a cat. I'm a bat.
I'm a bat. I help people. She's a cat. We fight a penguin.
My